It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, that'd be me, and this would be Tuesday morning, August 7th, 2018. The Lord's not making another one. Excited to be with you this morning. Thanks for joining us. Looking at the queue, we've got some folks piling in here this morning. Got some feedback yesterday now that we're finally back up on Facebook. It's like some people thought maybe they threw me in jail, drugged me away, that I disappeared off the face of the earth. Remember, no matter how many times we tell you this, CoachDaveLive.com, that's where you're going to find us. CoachDaveLive.com. Downloads, podcasts, all kinds of good stuff there. But every morning, whether you get the link to get into the queue or not, every morning you can find us live and in color at CoachDaveLive.com. You know, the war's really breaking out. And I got some tinfoil hat stuff I want to show you today. And I got some heart-wrenching stuff I want to show you today as well. But have you guys been following? By the way, I'm going to New York City this weekend for the Lifting the Veil conference. And some of you will see there. Some of you we won't see there. That's one of the things I want to show you share with you this morning. And we are a boots on the ground, get after them, get something done ministry. And we're excited to go to the event. Here's what I tell everybody. I always have my tinfoil hat beside me. Thank you, Dave and Cynthia, for making my tinfoil hat. In my mind, it's not about tinfoil hat stuff. It's about the depth of understanding in the world in which we live. And the Bible tells us that knowledge will increase, which means that the farther along that we get, you guys would have to admit, right, that there's so much more knowledge out there. You can become an expert in so many different fields. And you can become so uninformed about so many things, but knowledge is continuing to increase. We're beginning to see more and more and understand more and more. I think a lot of that has to do with the internet. And now you no longer, you think about, really, if we think about this, folks, your high school education, how shallow was that? How shallow was your high school education? And biology class and dissecting the frogs and history class and studying about the Civil War, George Washington, studying about all that stuff. How limited, really, your high school education was. And not only that, how really as a young child, how unable you are to really process the whole thing. You don't really understand. So history becomes facts and figures and not who's and why's and the emotionals behind it and the things that caused it all to happen. But it becomes very, very surface. And I was comparing that the other day when I was thinking about the average sermon in your church, how shallow the average Christian is. And they're shallow because the church is shallow. And from a pastor's perspective, if I'm a pastor and I'm going to present a Sunday message, who am I presenting that Sunday message to? Seeing how we have people who've come to the church, maybe have never been to church before. We have people maybe been Christians for, I don't know, maybe they've been Christians for a year. They don't read their Bible. We have all the senior saints and we make them elders and, you know, they sit, whatever. They're always sitting there keeping an eye on everything that's going on. And so when the pastor gets up there and he's going to deliver a sermon, who does he focus towards? What group, what level of understanding does he focus towards? And it's the same thing in education. Education, you just got to get a C, right? Just pass, get a D. I passed with a D minus. I got a D minus. We got a lot of D minus Christians. We got a lot of D minus citizens and a lot of D minus Christians. And what excites me so much, I wake up every day, my faith is so alive. And my faith is so alive because of some of the tinfoil hat stuff I come across. And because we have forgotten and we don't understand the depth of evil how the devil, if you believe in the devil, Satan, the workers of iniquity, the darkness, if we could figure out in our mind the depth and the commitment of darkness, we wouldn't laugh so much about tinfoil hat stuff, because I think there's everything that's going on in the world, it's connected. And we in the church, we still haven't made that connection. I was watching a clip. I got a clip of something I could show here today of, you know, Columbia University. I'm going to show you that, which is one of the, it's an Ivy League school, one prestigious universities in America. You know, can the average person, you know, the Bill of Rights? Can the average person repeat the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution? Why not? And explain them. Wouldn't that be pretty important? Can the average person sitting in church even list the five rights granted in the First Amendment of the Constitution? I doubt it. I was watching a video. Mike Blake sent me a video on the rapture, the misteaching of the rapture, and how that's all bogus. And I watched that thing, and I thought, man, no kidding. I don't care if you believe in the rapture. I don't care. But knowledge is, you know, so much stuff out there because of the internet. So much more stuff that we're able to. Why are we Christians? Why are we so content to remain in the third grade level of Christianity? That's part of what the event in New York is about, in my mind. Is that I go and my eyes get open to new things I'd never thought about. I don't walk away a true believer. When L.A. Marzulli gets up there and talks about Fatima and the Nephilim, I take it with a grain of salt. I don't go home and see a Nephilim behind every corner, but said, you know, this might have something to do with what's going on. Fallen angels, technology. Wow, it might be something to this, huh? And then Russ Dizdar gets up there and he talks about MK Ultras and Operation Paperclip. And of course you can go to secular. You can go on Facebook. You can go to Wikipedia. You can go to any place you want to. And these things are talked about. Operation Paperclip. Russ ain't making that up. That actually happened. Fatima, it actually happened. And there's an explanation for it. And MK Ultras, and what were MK Ultras? Well, you could go to, hey, Jared, right now, as we sit there right now, type in MK Ultra and see if anything shows up on from a secular site. Not from a biblical site, not something that you, not some tinfoil hat. There it is. Click it up there, Jared. History.com. MK Ultra. There it is. Russ Dizdar talks about this and talks about the demonic impact of MK Ultra. And then people laugh out there and say, well, gee, they're talking about that tinfoil hat stuff. No, we're talking about different vehicles and different ways that the enemy's operating. The devil has a plan. How's he executing the plan? How do we find ourselves here today in 2018 when so much of, come on now, so much of our what they call the pillars have been seized by the devil? What area, what organization, what national, what is the church in charge of? Name one thing the church is in charge of. Is the church in charge of government? No. Is the church in charge of education? No. Is the church in charge of media? No. Is the church in charge of music? No. Is the church in charge of food production? No. Is the church in charge of pick your poison?
It's not even in charge of families.
It's not even in charge of families, Larry. It's not even in charge of the church really anymore. And so rather than us staying in our little box and wondering out why that is, we have to understand that this has been a worldwide attempt by the evil one, the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. And if all we do is read this little Bible and we never go beyond, as Mark Trump would say, to the data, to dig into the data. What does that phrase mean? Jared, let's go to Ephesians 1. What does that phrase mean? Until, that's why the scripture says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, I know he's talking about silly women laden with lust. I understand that. But you guys do know that's true, right? We can never get to the bottom of it. And never get to the bottom of it. I've been so fascinated I spent some time over the last couple of days watching some videos about the Kennedy assassination. Eyewitnesses who were never interviewed. They're all over YouTube. Google them. They're all over YouTube. These people saw something entirely different happen. And I say that was January 23rd, 1963. November 23rd, I'm sorry, 1963. November 22nd, I guess. 1963 is the day. That was the day America died. That was the day when this whole coup, this whole stuff that we see going on, that's when it really, really began to explode with Alan Dulles and the CIA and George H.W. Bush and all that. And since then, come on, that was the 60s. That was the 60s. Those of us who are my age, think what's happened in America since the 60s. Now, has this just did this just happen? Or wasn't there an evil plan at work when we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places? Were those evil spirits? See, their goal is to seize control of the earth. Why? Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So that the enemy wants to seize and destroy and corrupt and everything good. That's their job. That's what they've been trying to do. And while we've been sleeping and while we've been enjoying good, the enemy has crept in unawares. It says that in Jude, evil men crept in unawares. And this is happening in so many different areas. And the average Christian ain't got any clue. And why doesn't the average Christian have any clue? I feel like I'm doubling back in the side door. I just need to say this. Because you go to church where nothing deep is ever discussed other than your own personal relationship with Jesus. It never gets beyond what's going on in the government. It never, ever goes there because they lied to us and told us that religion and politics don't mix, when in fact they do mix and should mix. Not religion, but truth and government. Government is the domain of God. Government is the domain of God. And so because we've become so earthly minded, the heavenly minded, that we're no earthly good, every power organization has been seized by the evil one, the Catholic Church. I'd run into Catholics and I say, what do you think? What do you think about this crazy Pope? And they say, oh, you're not really a Catholic. And they leave it at that. So what? You mean to tell me the Catholic Church has been seized? What? Yeah, well, you know, come on. What do you mean? Nancy Pelosi's running the American government. How'd that happen? Rod Rosenstein? How'd that happen? The master plan. And that master plan is still at work today. And it ain't about you and your health and your personal finances. It ain't about any of that. None of that. And you, as a born again believer in Jesus Christ, you have been placed here for such a time as this to make an impact for the kingdom of God, not to make a lot of money, not to raise happy kids, none of that. You are here as a soldier of Christ to impact, to do your job, to impact this battle between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And they make fun of us. Guys, people on our own team make fun of us and say, oh, hey, coach, he's diving into that crazy stuff. Crazy? The hell's wrong with you? It's everywhere you look. It's all around you. It's all around you. And you want to sit in that little box and hear what that little guy, that guy in the pulpit tells you, never beyond that. Well, I'm here to try to expand you a little bit. Jiminy, criminy, which is worse, the dumbing down of our kids or the dumbing down of Christians? Which is worse? How can we have 12% of the population, black people, vote 95% for a political party that wants to kill unborn black people? How can the church be so stinking blind? Other than evil men crept in unaware. It is everywhere we look, folks. And we cannot separate separate the divine from the natural. They work together. Now, we are divine in our rebirth in Jesus Christ. We are divine, or we are connected to the divine, but we are connected to the divine to impact the natural. We don't want the natural to impact the divine. We have it just backwards. Who is that? Dale tried to creep in here?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I saw something on Twitter. A guy tweeted that the 60% of the deaths in Black America was due to abortion.
Yeah, you know what? I saw thanks, Paul. Who was it I saw who somebody spoke that yesterday? And I said to my wife, look at this. Look at this. Because you know what? Something's going on. Some Black Americans are starting to wake up, and some people are starting to speak the truth. And I'm going to tell you this. If Donald Trump wants to punch him in the nose, he ought to go right.
And also, too, Coach, 29% of African-Americans support Donald Trump, the last poll that was taken by UNC Charlotte. 29%.
And so, hey, Paul, if we ever wake up the Black community, did you guys see what happened to Candace Owens? I tried to show you yesterday. I got that clip here to show you today. See, there is a cataclysmic upheaval. We're on a boat that's rocking, and we don't even know it's rocking. We're so used to the boat being rocked, we don't even know what's going on. And there are cataclysmic changes going on around us, and the opportunity to make a difference has never been greater than any time in history. You know why? Because here I sit in this million-dollar studio, yuck, yuck, and people in Australia are watching. When the show's over, I'll hear from a guy from Australia. I hear from a guy in New Zealand. I hear from people around the world that are watching. Why? Because, see, this impact, this ability to be able to move throughout the world has never been greater than it is right now. Right here, sitting in my underground bunker, I can speak to the world. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back and saying something special about me, but I can do that right here, like no time ever in American history. And here's what you better wake up and you better understand. Something is about to happen. Now, hang on with me. They just silenced Alex Jones. And then I hear from people, and I look on the internet, and I hear people say, good, I don't like Alex Jones. You can't believe Alex Jones. And I'm thinking, how stupid are you people? Whether you believe Alex Jones or don't believe Alex Jones, whether you think he's a fool or don't think he's a fool, they are censoring him. What is next? And not only are they censoring him, do you know Alex Jones's audience is bigger than Fox News? Did you know that? Did you know Alex Jones's audience is almost as large as Rush Limbaugh's? Can you imagine them silencing Rush Limbaugh? Can you imagine them taking him off YouTube and Twitter? Can you imagine that going on? And if you can't see that they've gone after the king, they've gone after the top dog, because it'd be nothing for them to shut down little Coach Dave. Who cares about that? Or shut down the Hagman. Who cares about that? Hang on with me, Paul, because you're onto something. I'm going to double back to that. But I'm trying to wake you guys up out there to understand that this battle is so much bigger. This Bible is a playbook called What's Going On. It's more than just a history book. It's more than just a life enhancement or personal gratification. It's more than that. It's more than just a history book explaining how all these. No. It is, there's nothing new under the sun. And within this thing, as knowledge is increased and technology is increased and information's increased and artificial intelligence, and they're coming into your houses now through all types of devices, and they're able to capture everything we say. Folks, the game has never changed, but the weaponry has, and the church is still so far behind. Oh, Lord. I'm in Ephesians. Did I say that, Jared? Ephesians 1. Jump in here. Go ahead. Somebody jump in here. Let me catch my breath. I don't need to catch my breath. Let me refocus. Go ahead, Jared.
Yeah, people, you guys have got us. Technology has its place. Digital technology has its place. And that place is a lot less than what we think it is. Okay? So you guys got to use this stuff to fix your thinking and then go out and do it. Go out, get together. Go to your neighbor's house today. I just went to my neighbor's, my whole neighborhood. Guess what? I'm the only person in my neighborhood who knows every other person in my neighborhood from an hour of work. Do it. Do that. Just do it. Go and ask them one question. Go in your neighborhood and ask every single neighbor one question. Knock on their door and say, I want to ask you a question. What do you do for work? Do it. That's it.
Wow. Well, yeah, I'm with you, Jared. I'm with you. And listen, I'm in a sifting process. I'm in a sifting in my own personal life. I'm in a sifting process. And the sifting process is this. You don't have to agree with me. You don't have to agree with me. But if you're not working with me to educate people, I'm going to find people who are. If you're happy and content sitting, wait, good, God bless you. But I'm looking for people who get it and understand it. That this war is so much bigger than we understand it. So much bigger. That this deep state, this thing is so real. So November 22nd, 1963, the day America died and all this stuff began to really, really take off. But it didn't really take off there. It is all part of a larger scheme because the devil has a plan. The Bible tells us not to be ignorant of his devices. He's trying to do something. And he's trying to do something through his minions. And the Lord is trying to fight back through his minions. The Lord's trying to fight back, but his minions have decided to take the power of God and set the church and pray for personal blessings. They haven't understood the idea of dominion and authority, which God government was God's. That's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Isaiah 9, verse 6. That we are supposed to, the whole idea of the scriptures is which government is going to rule, the government of light or the government of darkness. And we are sitting by watching this whole thing play out before us when we could be useful soldiers in this fight.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Hey, Coach, you know, just, you think about a movie. There's always a book that precedes a movie. It's always written. And it's always more detailed. And most people who actually read books will tell you books are so more intense than movies because what most people, like you said, sit around doing nothing. That's what they are. These things are happening just as the Word of God has displayed and portrayed these things to be. And most people just want to be in a movie theater with a box of popcorn and watch it happen. They don't want to engage. They just want to watch it happen.
Amen, Dale.
And I just got this from Robert Sellers. Malachi 2, verse 1. You don't have to go there, Jared. I'm just going to read it real quick. Malachi 2. What does he have, Robert? 1, verse 3. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, if you will not lay it to your heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing. Yea, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And thanks, Robert, for that. Thanks for that. So we don't understand our power. We take our power and we apply our power only personally in certain areas. We don't pray in faith believing. Larry, we don't have faith toward God. We just have hope. We just have hope that he'll do what he says he'd do. We just have hope. We don't really have faith. If we really had faith, there wouldn't be any babies being killed in America. They wouldn't be teaching. If we really had faith, they would not be teaching homosex to our children. If we really had faith. If we really had faith. I was thinking about this yesterday. Have any idea how much money you pay in taxes? Have any idea? Can somebody tell me how that can in any way, shape, or form be godly? Come on now. I'm not talking about income tax. I'm talking about getting ready to go to New York and I got to pay tolls. I got to pay $50 worth of tolls on the way out there. I got my property tax. Where's my property tax going on? I don't know. I got sales tax. I got use taxes. I got unbelievable. Why do we let them do this to us? Why do we let this evil, immoral, corrupt government do this to us? Can I tell you why? Because we're serving a different kingdom. We're not serving the kingdom of God. We're not willing to do what it takes. I'm in Ephesians. I'm all over the place today, but I'm feeling, okay? Get us up there, Jared. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints who are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Boy, does that limit it right there. You could limit that right there, baby, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. See, there's an invisible world. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. I don't want to get into predestination and pre-adoption. I don't even get into that. I could, but I won't. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. This is all available to us. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. See, it's a mystery. It's a mystery, but he's making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Bringing these, the unnatural world and the unnatural world together, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you my prayers. I'm going to stop right there a second. Can you imagine what the world's like in first century Ephesus to what it is today? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, here you are, boys and girls, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation and the knowledge of. Woo! I just got hit with one right there. The Lord wants to give each and every one of you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, who he is. When that happens, the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling in your life and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, not just finances and health and no. His power is available. Why? Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. And he's put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, by the way, not bride, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We don't understand anything that we just read.
Coach, verses 9 and 10, right in the middle of what you just read. His will, which he purposed in himself, go down to verse 10, he might gather together in one all things of Christ. You relate that back to Jesus' prayer that he prayed to the Father, John chapter 17, five times in John chapter 17, Jesus prayed, Father, that they may be one as you and I, as we are one.
Amen.
That unity is what God's heart and his will and his desire is. And he taught us to pray for his will when we pray. And anybody that thinks praying for his will is not sufficient and doesn't cover everything doesn't have faith.
Larry, I don't know what your relationship with your wife is. I'm not talking to Larry. I'm talking to all of you out there. Michelle and I are one. We're one. Every time when I get up in the morning, I want what's best for her. And every time she gets up in the morning, she wants what's best for me. I don't doubt her. I don't think she's going to betray me. I don't hope I don't get up in the morning and hope she's going to have breakfast ready or hope that she's going to make me a nice dinner. She just does. I just know that she's going to. And she doesn't hope that the yard gets mowed. She knows. She knows. We have a partnership, a relationship. That's how we're supposed to be with the Lord. And we are his workmanship. We are his. He is working through us. But he can't work through us if we don't get what's going on. Praise the Lord. Okay, I had to get that out of me.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's all right, go ahead.
No. Look, in that, what you just read, and also a little bit later on when Paul says, then I bend my knee before the Father in heaven, and I pray that you receive this wisdom and this knowledge. I try to teach people in the fact, listen, when he says you, take that word out and put your name in it. God is directly speaking to each person on an individual basis. That's why it hit you, because it was you he's talking to. And this is, like I said, we think this is some kind of a movie. We just want to sit back and entertain, where God's saying, no, I'm calling you. I'm talking to you through my word. I'm calling you to understand what the wisdom is and what the knowledge is of God.
You have a starring role in this thing that's unfolding. You are not just a bit player. You have a starring role. And you can't sit back and watch the movie. You are in the movie, baby. You have a role. Look at this. I just heard from Tony Sumner in New Zealand. Are you ready for this? Hi, Coach. We are still enjoying your challenging show. Me and my new buddy Simon Owen, connected through your show, if you remember, had our first men's camp here in New Zealand. He just had a men's retreat. A small group of men spent all last weekend at Lake Camp, and we all made a decision there to put a line in the sand and set the platform for Assault and Light Brigade in New Zealand. We're all ready to step up to the plate. I hope that's okay, and we aren't breaching copyright or anything like that. Heck no! Let us know. We have most of the problems in our culture as you guys struggle with as well. We're marching for Jesus October 30th. Oh! Maybe I ought to go to New Zealand. Maybe I ought to go to New Zealand. Calling us all, guys. He's calling us all. Now, I'm going to show you something. Man, I'm feeling some stuff here. You may not be. I'm feeling some stuff here this morning. Jared, pull up the stuff. I want to show you something here. Pull up that Candace Owens clip. And this is on Hannity. We don't have to watch the whole thing on Hannity because I don't care. You guys know who Candace Owens is. Those of you who've been with me out on the streets, and David Arthur, I think David's in here today, and anybody who's in Mansfield, I want you to watch what they do to Candace Owens. And I want you to see if there's not a spiritual connection here, and if the enemy is, folks, these people are either being demonically trained or personally trained. Blow whistles, bullhorns, in your face. What happens here to Candace Owens happens to me regularly. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
All right, earlier this morning, friends of this program, Charlie Kirk and Candace Owens, were brutally harassed by far-left protesters. They were having breakfast at a Philadelphia coffee shop. Watch this. Is now Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk turning.
I kind of chuckle. That happens to me about every time I go out the door, blowing the whistles, bullhorns, jamming. All see, they're being trained to do this. Now, Jared, quickly pull up First Amendment Columbia. This is a little thing that I saw. This is the fruit of our educational system. Columbia University. It's an Ivy League school. It's where all the communists are trained, by the way. This guy goes out with a microphone, goes to kids at Columbia University. These are the supposedly the cream of the cream when it comes to intellectualism. Watch this about the First Amendment. Watch it. fighting.
I'm Calvin Phillips with Campus Reform. Today we're at Columbia University talking to young people about freedom of speech. Is the First Amendment still relevant today? And do people actually know what's in the First Amendment? Let's find out. In the First Amendment of the Constitution, there are five freedoms listed that are protected under the First Amendment. I've got $20 right here if you can name all five.
No way I'm naming all five.
Any come to mind, freedoms under the First Amendment?
Yo, I have no idea.
But can you name the five freedoms protected under the First Amendment?
No, I definitely can't. I don't know.
Nah, I can't.
Yeah, any?
I mean, we can guess. Under the First Amendment. Nah.
How long do I have?
Drew, you took con law. You should be able to do this.
So freedom of speech.
Yeah.
Freedom of the press.
Yep.
You're the constitutional lawyer here, man. You got this. Come on.
You got to do it. Yeah, dude, he's taking a class in law school right now also. So, dude, no pressure, but.
Freedom of press.
Yep. Free speech.
Speech.
Right to bear arms. Is that a different amendment? I think that's a different amendment.
That's the Second Amendment.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
Now I feel like I need to go home and just read.
The right to a jury by your peers?
No.
Then I'm done.
Freedom of the press. Freedom of...
I don't know. I'm sorry.
It involves what we're doing right now. All of us like assembled. Freedom of assembly?
Oh, freedom of assembly. Oh, like to do like protests and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Freedom of the press, freedom of assembly, freedom of religion. It's a really good... I don't know.
Okay, so we got to three. That's the most anyone's gotten.
Freedom of...
Get that off, Jared. You get the idea. Now, how has this happened to us? How has this happened? See, not only did they tell us there was a separation between the church and the state, somewhere along the line, they told us there was a separation between the Constitution and education. Somehow, you understand what's going on? Folks, this isn't happening by accident. This is a well-conceived, long, hard fight for the God-haters to destroy everything Christian in our culture and our society. As we just read in Ephesians, we're supposed to know what? The riches of the glory of his inheritance. That's word who believe. The eyes of your lightning be the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling was, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's what we're supposed to know. And so that we can take authority over this stuff. But we don't, because we have to go to church and learn about tithing and learn about not drinking alcohol and not smoking cigarettes and being nice to people and not being judgmental. See the two world. We have one world belief. What do they call that? We have one set of beliefs that is intent on conquering the world. And we got another set of beliefs that's intent on getting out of here. And that's not what this book's about. Because we're all going to get out of here. We're all going to get out of here. Somebody come in here, man. I got something else to show you. Come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
I preached for 4 hours. The message was on the lukewarm believer. And I get this one lady who comes at me. She called me a Pharisee. I was standing in a corner to show myself. That's sad.
That's where we are, though, Jeff. They wouldn't know what a Pharisee is, right? They wouldn't know. So listen, I'm going to show you something else. This is here the watchman lifting the veil. We're so stupid. Me lifting the veil. After the event's over on Sunday, they're going to take a tour to Montauk. Anybody ever heard of Montauk? Montauk. I'd never heard of Montauk. The Montauk Project. I never heard of Montauk. So they're going to take this boat tour. It's all day tour. It costs $125, $150. And, they're going to go out to Montauk. To Montauk. And so I thought, what's going on about Montauk? I asked my buddies from New York. Montauk? He didn't really know. Kind of scratched his head. Montauk? What? And I get thinking, I do a little research and I get thinking about Mark Trump. and all this artificial intelligence stuff that Mark Trump's been talking to us about, and 5G and 4G and waves and all this kind of stuff. I understand it's not in the Bible. I understand it's not within the God said it, I believe it, I'd settle it. I get it. I understand that. And I'm thinking, what the MK Ultra and mind control and human trafficking and pedophilia? These things aren't all connected, are they? No way. No, then it wouldn't all be connected, would they? So Jared, I did this, Jared. You're ahead of me. I want you to back up a minute, Jared. And now I'm not gonna put my tinfoil hat on. I'm not gonna put it on. But I'm gonna show you what the secular world's saying about stuff that we don't even get. Okay? Jared, click on the Wikipedia where it says Montauk Project. Click on that first, Jared. By the way, you can't always trust Wikipedia. I don't look at Wikipedia as historic, but this is secular. What's the Montauk Project? Well, the Montauk Project is an alleged series of secret United States government projects conducted at Camp Hero at Montauk Air Force Base on Montauk, Long Island. That's where we're going to go for the purpose of developing psychological warfare techniques and exotic research, including time travel, Jacques Vallée, the allegations of Montauk Predator, the outgrowth of stories. See, they're trying to say it's conspiracy stories, a conspiracy. Don't believe it's all conspiracy. Go down there, Jared. The origins, the stories about the Montauk Project have been there since the early 1980s. See, this is recent, folks, 1980s. And according to UFO researcher Jacques Vallée, the Montauk experiment stories seem to have originated with the account of – goes on to explain what went on, the Montauk Project, what happened there, and what it was all about. And then I come across this. So, well, I still haven't heard much about the Montauk Chronicles. Anybody out there heard much about that? Time travel, going to Mars, and anything like that. So I Googled a little bit more, Jared. Pull up Ranker. I don't even know what Ranker is. I mean, it's a website, Ranker. I don't know what Ranker is, but I just found this. 15 eerie facts about theories about Project Camp Hero. That's Montauk. Montauk. Now, I'm not going to take the time to read all this just because I'm, you know, just not. But those are Christians. We ought to know this stuff, right? Hey, Jared, scroll down 15 eerie facts. We're not even going to go into them. This is secular. Start at the top. This is secular. This is what the secular world's telling us. The government chose the tiny town of Montauk, New York to keep its secrets. Go on to the next one. That's number one. Number two, the Montauk Project may have spun off from a CIA assassination program. This is the secular world. The base was underground, literally. That's number three. Number four, researchers discovered they could use radar for mood alteration and thought control. That's number four. Number five, the Montauk chair allowed people to focus their psychic abilities. That's demonic. Number six, Jared, the Montauk chair made spontaneous object creation possible. It made spontaneous object creation possible. This ain't coach with some tinfoil hat. Go to the next one, Jared. Anybody ever hear about this? This is number seven, I think. In the Seeing Eye experiment, researchers could remotely control people's thoughts and behaviors. Number eight, they kidnapped homeless people to send them on dangerous time travel missions. This is secular. This ain't me saying. Members of the Montauk Boys program traveled thousands of years into the past and into the future. It says down here 100,000 years. It's amazing. Keep on going, Jared. The Montauk Project sent men to Mars. This is secular saying this. Not me. Not Russ Dizdar. L.A. Marzulli. The parallel old universe was like a real-life Star Wars. Things that happened. A hole in the hyperspace led to big problems for the Montauk Project. Hyperspace? Yeah. Huh? The beast from the id smashed the project to smithereens. Some beast was created. No one remembers what happened to Montauk because their minds were wiped clean. Go on, Jared. Montauk may still be in operation today. Keep going. Anybody ever heard of this?
Oh, yeah, I've heard of it. I heard of it, Coach.
Huh? Now, listen. Hang on. Here's my point. Should Christians be interested in this or not?
Absolutely, Coach.
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah. Why would you not be interested in it? This happened in the 80s, fellas. They claim they sent people to Mars. They claim they did time travel. If you read what I just read, you can go in there and find out that some of these people came back and their minds have been wiped clean. They didn't even know who they were, where they were. They didn't know anything. They traveled some. Well, say, Coach, that's an absolute tinfoil hat. Yeah, it is. It is. Hey, Mark Trump, are you there? Does this make this AI, this artificial intelligence, does this make this stuff little less woo-woo-woo-y to us? Is this possible? Could this stuff really, really be going on? Are there these waves, these individual waves?
Hey, Coach, it's...
This is clearly demonic. Normal people don't act like this. And we ask ourselves, what's wrong with those people? Well, there's something spiritual going on. And laugh if you want to. There's something spiritual going on around us that the church has no interest in knowing about. Go ahead, Mark.
But it's just way more real than even I realized. And the more I dig into it, the more I learn and the more I share. I mean, I've sent you some things, and I know you're still maybe processing, like gene therapy, genomics, embryonic research, changing cells before they're inseminated to rule out cancer and future disease. I mean, it's just way, way deeper than we anticipated, and a lot of it's built around healthcare and the idea of extending our lives and promise us immortality. You know, and there are scriptures at state, you know, whenever the scorpions or the locusts come out of the pit, that they'll attack people without the mark of God and they'll wish for death and can't die. So it's very likely that in times, you know, whenever people are extending their lives, that they won't be able to die and they have to live through torment for 5 months and wish they could die.
Men's hearts failing them for fear for the things that are coming upon the earth. Why does the church have no intellectual curiosity about what that must be like? What that must be. Now, I'm 65 years old. I'm thinking back to 1963 when John F. Kennedy was killed. Like I said, watching, you know, we still don't know what happened with Kennedy. What the hell? We still don't know 1963 what really happened. Yeah, we do. Why are they still covering that up? Because see, they're covering it all up because there is a demonic deep state that was at work in 1963 that has now expanded and has infiltrated in so many areas of the government. And the church thinks it's Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative. We don't have any concept of the depth of the evil that's going on around us. And the average Christian doesn't want anything to do with it. Praise the Lord, you do. And I'm just here to tell you, wake up and look around you. This is bigger than what we understand. And if you can't see that in the American, in the desire to silence Alex Jones, here's what I think. I'm gonna lay this on the table. Something big's about to happen within high places. Exposure is about to happen. And I think that the devil's team, the deep state, call them whatever they want to make sure that there are no alternative media sites operating where the truth is going to get out when all this stuff hits the fan. They want to do everything they can to return back to controlled media because that way they can dumb us down, quiet us down, calm us down, and conform us. So they try to shut down Alex. Then they're going to try to shut down Hannity. They're going to try to shut down all of these possible venues wherewith we might be able to get news, not fake news, not alternative news, news. That's what I think is going on.
It's worked in the church.
It sure has worked in the church.
And Coach, they're not interested. They're not interested in the things of God. They're not even interested in reading their Bible. What John F. Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. The mentality of the church is ask not what I can do for God, but what can God do for me?
What can God do for me? That's what God is to the majority of the church. And it's grievous to hear. And then when this stuff happens, we have no connection, like what Jared said. Go to your neighbors. They don't know their neighbors. So if social media is shut down, if communications are shut down, these people are just going to sit there because they don't even know their neighbor. They won't even know what to say. Oh, I don't know what to say. What do you mean you don't know what to say? The life of Christ is inside of you, and you tell me you don't know what to say? That's what we've become.
Hey, Coach. Hang on, George. What do you suppose the odds are of the high school kid? What percentage of high school kids graduated from high school in America would know the five rights guaranteed in the first? It would be almost nothing. Go ahead, George.
Coach, what if we read Isaiah 56:10 through 12? Yeah. Isaiah 56:10 through 12.
Jared's got it up there for us.
Okay.
Here the watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. See, then say do not, cannot. Lying down. Loving. Yeah, they're greedy dogs. Which can never have enough. And they're shepherds that cannot understand. They all look into their own way, everyone for his own gain from his own quarter. Come on, boys, come on to church here, they say. I'll get us some wine. We'll fill ourselves with some drinks and we'll watch the Buckeyes. We'll have a Super Bowl party. And tomorrow, they'll be as this day, only even better. That's it, man. That's it. Mark Trump, you hold him on your lap there. Oh, my goodness. What a beautiful little blonde, Mark.
Good day.
She's watching. About.
Yeah, this is Brecken. This is my grandfather. Oh. Yeah, one of the four. Say hi, Breck.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Raj.
I was just going to say, take a typical Sunday in church. Isn't all of this already taking place in church? You come in, you sit down. Somebody tells you something, you get up, you leave. There's no debate. There's no discussion. You can't even have a good church brawl anymore. It's just all boom, boom, boom.
Right, controlled, right? Conformed, right? Wouldn't you love to go into your church and stand up right just before the sermon starts and say, hey, pastor, just before you get going there a little bit, pastor, just before that, I'm just curious. What do you think about all this child trafficking that's going on, Pastor? And is there anything we in the church ought to be doing to stop it? He would drop his pants and run and hide, wouldn't he? He wouldn't have any idea what to say. Hey, Pastor, have you heard about this indoctrination that they're doing of homosexuality into our kindergarten? Pastor, shouldn't we be doing something about that? You ever get a chance to say something like that, Roger? Boy, those ushers would be around you in a hurry. They'd have you by the arms and they'd walk you out the back door. The church is just as controlled as the schools are.
That's my point. It is absolutely controlled. The ability to sit up and have an opinion is completely pushed back at.
Yep, and we accept it. We accept. Man, this wasn't where I was planning on going today, but this has been pretty good. Lord, is there anything else I want to throw up there real quickly? Had any of you ever heard of the Montauk Project? So I'm looking at going here to the Watchmen. They're taking a tour to it. They're taking a tour to it. I'd never even heard of it. Folks, the government was involved in time travel. So, oh, that's tinfoil hat. Okay. Okay. So was CIA. So was Lee Harvey Oswald. So were the Twin Towers. Sorry. When are we going to start connecting the dots here? When are those of us who believe in the truth going to stand up and speak the truth and fight for the truth and say, no, guys, it's now, baby. It is now.
Didn't Moses and Elijah experience time travel? They showed up with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration.
They sure did. So there must be something to it, huh? How about Enoch? He was walking with the Lord and boom, he was gone.
How about Philip in the book of Acts?
Yeah,
when,
how about
when he
Go ahead.
He baptized the eunuch. He comes up out of the water, and boom, next thing, he's gone and in the next city.
It's right in front of us, isn't it? It's right in front of us.
Coach, you know what? I don't even understand how anybody can claim to be a Bible-believing follower of Christ or Christian, not believe in all other things. I don't even grasp that. You know, it's if the Holy Spirit taught them, then they should believe all of it. But if man taught them, then
David, this is a very simple question, folks. You ought to all ask yourself, if God created everything, doesn't it make sense that the enemy would try to destroy and control everything?
Yep.
Amen. He's not just
trying to control you and your finances and your health. Wake up, dude. It's so much
more than that. Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, I really do want to follow Jesus as long as it doesn't interfere with my church doctrine.
Well, again, most people don't even know what the church doctrine is. That's for the pastor to worry about. How about
Flip's line? Everybody wants to follow Jesus until they find out where he's bringing them to the cross.
Amen. Everyone wants to follow him until they find out where he's going. He's going to a cross. And he's telling you to pick up yours and follow him. In fact, Jesus said that when you are born again, from that point on, you have been crucified. You've been crucified with Christ, yet you live. But not you. Christ lives within you. And the life that you now live, where is that? Where is that, Jared? I crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Google that one for me real quick.
Well, we Galatians 2:21.
Galatians 2:21? Boy, we don't want to live that one out, do we? We don't want to live that one out.
Galatians 2:20.
Yep. Well, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Well, not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh. See, there's another life, isn't there? There's another life. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead indeed. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ lives within me. See, he loves you so much, he tells you to go die. He loves you so much that he tells you to take up your cross daily and follow after him. Now, why are you taking up your cross? He didn't say take up my cross. He said take up your cross and follow me. Daily climbing up on that cross and dying to yourself. Greater love has no man than this, than he would give his life for his friends. And we can't even fathom that anymore in America. We have little kids being molested, trafficked, abortions taking place, kids being taught about homosexuality, and we don't even want to get involved. We don't want to get involved. Because you know why? We've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. Yet, not Christ, but we live in us. And so we don't want to do anything that's going to cause us a little bit of harm, a little bit of discomfort, lose a few friends along the way.
Self-preservation.
Boys and girls, this is so much deeper than we understand. So I hope some of you today Google the Montauk Project. Check that thing out on your own. It curled my toes as I began to get into it. I bet Dizdar knows about it. I bet L.A. knows about it, but you can't talk to them because they're tinfoil hat and they're crazy. Crazy like a fox. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.